We are studying God's eternal purpose. We're on lesson number 26. And we're in God revealed in the millennium. God revealed in the millennium. God's eternal purpose revealed in the millennium. Now, the writer on page 124 says, some facts concerning the close of the church age are in order just here. Before you can get into the millennium, you've got to close the church age, don't you? When society fails, when society totally fails. You hear that? When society and all the rules of society fail. Society has failed us in so many ways. We see all this killing lately, just rampaging, killing and murdering. This is previews of coming attractions. That's all it is. Previews of coming attractions. It will be wholesale. During this period of time right here, the tribulation period. And the tribulation period must come before the millennium comes. And we're at the end of the church age. And we're going to see some statements in 1st and 2nd Thessalonians that tell us what's going to happen. Now, the writer puts down here that, let's read the rest of it. Some facts concerning the close of the church age are in order just here. Near the close of the church age, Antichrist will come into power. According to Daniel 9, 26 and 27, he will come in as a man of peace. Now, I've said this many times, that Islam says that they're going to bring in the world. They're going to bring in the end of the world. They're going to bring peace to the world. And they say Islam means peace, but Islam does not mean peace. Sharon, do you remember what Islam means?
Submission.
Submission or surrender. When the world surrenders to Islam, but we find out during the tribulation period that if the Islamic eschatology is correct, which ISIS is fighting for right now, they want to bring in the world under one caliphate. If that happens, and their man comes forward, which will be the Mahdi, they have the beast, and then they have the false prophet, just like the Bible has the Antichrist, the beast, and the false prophet. We see these coming into juxtaposition and parallel with each other. Now let's go on a little bit further. And he will come in as a man of peace, making a covenant with the Jews in Palestine. Now, we know, according to Islamic backgrounds, and I'm using that because it is my opinion that we're not talking about the revised Roman Empire. We're talking about the revised Islamic Empire, the Caliphate, the Ottoman Empire that's going to rise again. The Seventh Empire was the Ottoman Empire. The Sixth was the Roman Empire. There was another, the Seventh. And there will be an Eighth, which will be what? A revision of the Seventh. The Seventh Empire to rule Palestine, and basically that still rules Palestine, is the Islamic Empire. The Ottoman Empire dissolved March the 3rd and 1920-something. But it is still there. The power is still there, but it will rise again. Now, they say that they're going to move the Kaaba stone from Mecca to Jerusalem. They're going to build a temple there. And we know that there will be a temple built and that all nations in the beginning, all religions will worship in that temple. And that's what the Jews want. They want to build that temple today. Well, the temple is going to be built according to the Bible. Islam says they're going to build a temple there. They will take part in it and they will move the Kaaba stone in it also. Making covenant with the Jews in Palestine. That Palestine, that is that land. We're not talking about New York City. Some people say Babylon the Great is New York City, or it is actually Babylon, whatever. Yeah, Babylon is Babylon, all right? The Middle East. It's all talking about Middle East. If you look in the Bible, you'll find out that every country that's coming against the Jews is all Islamic. They're all Islamic countries. In Islamic countries, do they have peace? No. And the Bible tells us that when this Islamic or end-time worldwide church, religion, political, religion, society gets together, that it will divide and split and start killing each other. They will murder each other. Well, they're doing that all over the world today. The only time that the Arabs can get together, the Islam can get together, is to kill Jews. When they get that over with, then they fight each other. This 7-year contract, the Bible says it will be a 7-year covenant that the Antichrist will make. Islam says that the Mahdi will make he will rule for 7 years to bring the world unto Islam. This 7-year contract shall be broken off in the middle of the 70th week, or after 3.5 years, Daniel 9:27, and it is at this time that the Antichrist will be revealed. We'll know who the Antichrist is in the middle of the week. I don't believe that we will be here, but the rest of the world will. Now let's go to 1 Thessalonians. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. First Thessalonians 4. And verse 13. We will go on there, and then we'll go into chapter number 5, and then we're going to go to 2 Thessalonians. Let's look and read this carefully. But we do not want you to be brainless, uninformed, and ignorant, is what it says. Brethren, about those who are asleep. Now we're talking here that you may not grieve as do the rest who have hope, who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. Now, when we die, our bodies look like they fall asleep, but our spirit and souls do not. They know. Luke, the 16th chapter, is one of the greatest examples of that. And I want to say this right with red all around that Luke 16th chapter. This is not a parable. This is not a parable. Many people call it the parable of Lazarus and the rich man, or the parable of Dives and Lazarus. It is not a parable. It is a real historical event that happened. This is it. It happened. It's real. It's a real historical event with the real people with names in it. Name. Those people are named. Now, that really happened. Lazarus is now in heaven. And Dives is still in Hades. And you've heard me tell about that before, too. Actually, you just look up here, an imaginary circle right here. Here's the earth up here now. And down below the earth, down under the earth, kata hippo is what it says in Greek. Down under the earth, we're not talking about down in the earth. The only thing that goes, Jesus, some part of him went in the earth. What part of him went in the earth? His body. His body. What part of us goes in the earth? Or down under the earth? Down below the surface of the earth? Our bodies. Okay? Now, this is what we're talking about right here. Now, we are triune beings. In Genesis 1:26, God said, let us make man in our shadow casting likeness, in our spiritual image. Let him make in our blood flowing likeness. And let him make in our sovereign, soulish, volitational, sovereign likeness. Every man has the ability to come to God. I believe that. I believe the Bible teaches that. Look at this imaginary thing up here, the circle of the earth. Down on the earth, down below the earth, was a great, big, and out in space, probably in the third heaven out below the earth, there was a great place called Abraham's bosom, and a place called Sheol, and a place called Hades. Sheol means what, Brother Roger? Place to ask about. Hades means what, Sharon? All and Deo. Hadios. Not seen. The place not seen. Okay. All right, here was Hades. Sheol or Hades right here, if you can imagine that. In between this circle was a great gulf in between. Evidently, they could see across from both sides, because that's what we have evidence of in Luke 16th chapter. Part of the torments of those in the torment side of Hades. Now, over here, here we have the circle. Over here was paradise, and over here is the place of torments. It's both called Sheol or Hades, but there was a place called Abraham's bosom or paradise in that. Now, Jesus, when he died, went down. His body went in the earth, and his spirit and soul went down under the earth in Sheol and Hades in the paradise side. Now, did the people in Hades, in the place of torment, see Jesus? Yeah. Did they see what they lost? Yes, they saw what they lost. When society crashes, each one of those people's lives had crashed. Okay? They had all crashed. Their lives, they had died. They had no more choice. No more chances. Now they were in Hades, where there's torments, or in Hades, where there's pleasure and comfort. That guarded pleasure part, Paradiso. Now, look over here again in the paradise side. Over there, the people were comforted. Evidently, they had food to eat. They had water to drink. Because we find out that Dives said to Abraham, send Lazarus over here with one drop of water that he may quench this thirst and this terrible. Now, this guy did not have a body, yet he acted like he had a body, didn't he? So the spirit, even without the body, can feel, can see, remember, and all this. I preached many sermons on the love letter from hell, Luke the 16th chapter. Dives wanted to see his brother saved. He did not want to see them come there. Nobody in hell today wants his family to go. Because now they know there's no more chance. There's no more way to get out. You're in lockdown forever. And all you got to look for is the resurrection of your body and spirit and to be thrown in the lake of fire forever. That's all I got to look for. Cain is still there. It's just beginning. And he was the first man to commit murder. And as far as we know, the first man to go to hell when he died. Who knows? Where was Abel? All alone, over here in Abraham's bosom. And then his brother that killed him, he's going to be over here. Are they going to be seeing each other? Have they been looking at each other all these years? Until Christ rose. And then the vacant. Then hell was evacuated, the side of paradise. And Sheol was enlarged. Well, when Jesus died and his spirit and soul went down there, I believe that many theologians believe that he took all of those with him up to the third heaven. Now, they don't have their bodies yet. At least some of them don't. Because maybe some people believe that everybody at the resurrection of Christ, that everybody in the Old Testament was raised and taken to the third heaven, all those that died here. But still, those in Hades are left alone and they have no saved people to see anymore. They have no hope. Nothing in hell. But when Jesus rose, whether they took him resurrected back over here in this period of time, all of these, whether they're resurrected or not, some of them were, because the Bible tells us some of them were, that the graves broke open and they were resurrected. I don't think God broke those graves open to send them back in the graves again. I think it was over with. Gone. Now it says here, let's go back and look. We do not want you to be ignorant, uninformed, brainless, brethren, about those who are asleep. Their bodies are asleep. They are not asleep. Their souls are either with God or in Hades. That you may not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by way of the word of the Lord. Now, what is this inspired? Is this God's word? It is. That we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not precede those who have fallen asleep. Now, maybe some of these back here weren't resurrected. I don't know. But at the resurrection right here, at the rapture, 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17, which we're getting to, God is going to take and rapture everybody that's alive on the earth, but before that, he's going to resurrect all the dead, at least all the dead that died during the church age, if not some of these back here that were not resurrected when he rose from the dead. They're all going to be raised up. You got that? All right. Now, that's what it's talking about right here. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. Bring with him who? Their souls and spirits. And they will reunite them with their bodies, and the bodies, and then graveyards, which are a necropolis, will be evacuated. At least of those that were saved. There's going to be a lot of graves that aren't opened. Do you think that's going to affect the world? I think so. I think a lot of people are going to be saved at that moment right there. Going a little further. For this we say by the word of the Lord, by inspiration, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not go before those who have fallen asleep. I think one of the reasons why the dead shall be resurrected before the living on earth are changed, so they can see the glory of the resurrection. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. See that? The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be snatched up together with them into the clouds to meet with the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. That's the resurrection, the anastasia. Job looked forward to this. Moses looked forward to the resurrection. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Chapter 5. Now, as to the times and the epochs, brethren, you have no need of anything to be written to you. For you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord shall come first like a thief in the night. When was that? In his parousia coming. Right here. In the parousia coming. The second coming here of the Lord in glory is not a parousia coming. Parousia means it comes from para and eimi. That means beside being. He will come where only those in Christ see him. They will see the graves open, but they won't see Jesus. They're going to see the resurrection, but they won't see Jesus. Isn't that something? They'll see the resurrection, but they won't see Jesus. But when Jesus comes back here, this is his glorious appearing in Revelation 19:11 through 16. So we're talking about two separate comings. Okay? Well, while they are saying peace and safety, then destruction will come upon them suddenly like birth pains upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. The Quranic, the Ahadith, the Sunnah, and the histories of Muhammad and Islam and the Muslim world tells us that the Mahdi is going to come. That he's going to be how old when he appears? 40 years old when he appears. Okay? He is going to be a reluctant ruler. He is going to be the incarnation of Muhammad. He will be able to unite the whole Islamic world for a while. And that he will be a reluctant ruler, but yet that people will swear allegiance behind him. All of these nations will swear allegiance behind him when they figure out that is him. And then we know that the beast is coming forth. This is what we're talking about when they say peace and safety. And they say, we can bring peace. We'll bring peace to the earth. We'll bring peace. Isn't that what Islam says? Peace, peace. It's a peaceful religion. Listen to George Bush. Condoleezza Rice, Bill Clinton, Obama, all of these people, everyone all the way back, every one of these, Islam is a religion of peace. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should not overtake you like a thief. That's the church. Okay? For you are all sons of light, and sons of day, and we are not of night nor darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us be alert and be sober. For those who sleep do their sleeping at night, and those who get drunk at night. That's just the way it's always been, isn't it? Some people get drunk in the morning, though. They can't wait. A wino, sometimes the last thing he thinks about at night is a bottle of wine, and the first thing he thinks about this morning is another drink. The last movie that Audie Murphy made, and a guy in the movie was playing Judge Roy Bean, and he got up there, and he went to sleep drunk, and he woke up in the morning, and he's looking around for a bottle. Where's my bottle? Where's my bottle? Where's my bottle? And he went over there, and he had taken his false teeth out and put them in a dish, and it was a dish of whiskey. He took those teeth out, put them in his mouth, and drank that whiskey down.
It works.
Yeah. Well, since we are of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love and the helmet of hope and salvation. For God has not destined us. What does it say there? God has not appointed us. He has not destined us for wrath. And this is one of the beautiful promises right here. Wrath is here, isn't it? This is the wrath of God right here. When we are saved, we no longer have the wrath of God. Marilyn, could you walk out and kind of escort Larry in? Here in this tribulation period, it's a period of wrath. A period of wrath. Now, this wrath of God is not appointed upon those saved, is it? Now, will there be people saved in that period of time? Yeah. By the thousands, maybe millions. Come in and have a seat. We're recording. During this tribulation period here is a period of wrath and tribulation. But brethren, do not let darkness the day it should overtake you like a thief in the night. For you are sons of light and sons of the day, and we are not of the night or darkness. So let us not sleep as others do, but let us be alert and sober. For those who sleep do their sleeping at night, and those who do their drinking at night. And since we are all of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, and the hope of salvation. For God has not appointed us unto what? The tribulation period. But for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. What does salvation mean, Brother Ray?
Deliverance.
Deliverance. Salvation delivers you. When you're saved, you're delivered from what? Your old self. You're delivered from your old self. Obtaining salvation, it's more than, it means eternity with Christ, but it also means what else? Safety. Sozo means to save or to rescue or whatever. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 10. Who died for us, that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage. Look at that word encourage there. Comfort one another. And build up one another just as you are doing. Now let's turn over to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. Paul wrote 1 Thessalonians to the churches of Thessalonica, didn't he? And he writes 2 Thessalonians. He wrote 1 Corinthians, and he wrote 2 Corinthians, didn't he? Because he wasn't finished in 1 Corinthians, they didn't get it. Okay? They didn't get it, so he gave it to them again, and maybe they'll get it this time. Maybe they'll get it the second time around. So now Paul wrote the first letter about the second coming of Christ. Now he tells them another letter because they still didn't get it. Okay? They didn't get it. So 2 Thessalonians, we talk about this terrible time in the end times. And we'd studied before. The Bible says there is a Antichrist, there is a false prophet, and there is a beast. Islam says they're going to have a Mahdi, Iman, that is going to rule for 7 years. They say that he's going to be a direct reincarnation of Muhammad, that he'll look just like him, that he's from his daughter Fatima, that he is a direct lineage of him, and that God, Allah, will put his spirit back into this Mahdi. And how long is he going to rule? 7 years. How long is the Antichrist, according to the Bible, going to rule? 7 years. What is the beast in the book of Revelation going to do? The beast in the book, he's going to mark all those with the number or the name of the beast, of the Antichrist, isn't he? The Quran, the Sunnah, the Hadith, even the life of Muhammad by Ibn Ishaq, this is the most accurate history of Muhammad's life there was, written not very long after he died. The verses that he quotes in here are many of them taken from this legendary history and put in the Quran. That's the oldest evidence of all of this we have, right in that book. And what's it tell you? That there's going to be a Mahdi come, and that he's going to be helped by a beast that will come out of Arabia. And what is this beast out of Arabia? He's going to come out. Now, the Mahdi is going to come out around Syria, all of these Islamic countries. And then the beast is going to come out near Mecca. And what's in Mecca? What's that thing there? This is where they have the Hajj. This is where they have their pilgrimage, okay?
Right.
What's there? What do they go do?
The
Kaaba stone there. And what is the Kaaba stone? The Kaaba stone is a meteorite that fell out of heaven that some pagan Arab, they started worshiping this thing. And they built this cathedral around it, this big thing, and they'd walk in there and they'd walk around it seven times, and they would touch it, they'd kiss it. And what does the Kaaba stone, according to Islam, do? It's like a magnet. It takes all your sins away. A rock. You know, in Greek and Roman culture, they had the same thing, didn't they? They had a stone that fell out of heaven, and this was their gods and goddesses and everything. We go back to that period of time in history. They're going to move that Kaaba stone to Jerusalem one of these days. That's what the Islam says. Because that's going to be destroyed over there. That whole Kaaba is going to be destroyed. And they're going to move that stone over to Islam, over to Jerusalem, because they're going to build a temple. And it said the Jews believe that they're going to have a temple built by the Antichrist. He's going to build them a temple. Why did the Jews like Herod so much? And he is not of their own line. Herod is a descendant of Esau, not Jacob. Jacob is Israel. That's the nation of Israel. The king of Israel wasn't the king of Israel. But what did he do that made him accept him? He built him a temple. Who put Herod on the throne? Name them. Anthony and Cleopatra put him on the throne. And he built the Antonia fortress there after Anthony. We see all this, and the Jews accepted him. Of course, he killed a lot of the Jews. He totally destroyed their Sanhedrin, and those people ran off down to Quran. Those are what we call the Essenes or the Quranian people. That's where we have the oldest Bibles in the world came from, those people. And they said all those people in Jerusalem were false, were facades. They weren't real. Well, I guarantee you the king on the throne was not real. Remember when Jesus was born, what happened? Herod wanted to do. He didn't want to go down and worship Jesus. He told him he did, but he wanted to kill him, murder him. So there's the background that we have of Islam. The beast in Islam is going to mark everybody with the name of Allah. There is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is his prophet. There is no God but Allah, and he has no companion. Jesus isn't part of it. Okay? What else? He's going to mark them, all the true believers, and what is he going to do? He's going to kill all of the Jews, and he's going to kill all of the Christians. And then Islam has a Jesus, don't they? His name is Isa. And this Jesus, what is he going to do? He's going to kill all the Jews, and he's going to kill all the Christians. And he's going to break all religions. Okay? That's the false prophets. Jesus said, many will come in my name and say, they are me, in the desert. Not in the desert. Where's Issa going to come from? He's going to come from the Arabia in the desert. Okay? Let's go in the second chapter. Now, we have a little background here. Now, we request you, brethren, with regard to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together unto him, is what it says. What is that? That's the rapture, isn't it? That rapture is going to take place over here, after the church age, and I think we're real close to the end of it. If Islam is true, and if the Bible talks about the Antichrist, the beast, and the false prophet, if those things line up and Islam is really that, are we ready for that? Where are we in history? Are we ready for that? Is that ready to come upon us instantly? Okay? We're right there, close to it somewhere. And then people are going to be saved after this period of time. All the church is going to be raptured. All the saved are going to be raptured. And then hell is going to be turned loose on earth. Wrath of God is going to be turned loose on earth. How many people are going to die How many Gentiles? That's us-ins. How many Gentiles are going to die? 5 out of 6 people are going to be killed during that time. How many Jews are going to be killed?
2 out of 3.
Now, the Bible says that Jesus is going to come back and he's going to save the Jews. He's going to rapture the church and save the Jews. Islam says that he's going to come back and kill the Jews and kill the Christians and bring in one caliphate. The Bible talks about 8 empires. The 6th empire was the Roman Empire. The 7th empire was the Ottoman Empire that ruled until what? March the 3rd in 1923 through 26 is the end of it. But the Bible says that that last empire, the 7th empire, will be revised again. The 8th will be a revision of the 7th. The 6th was the Roman Empire. A lot of people have the revised Roman Empire as the seat of the Antichrist. But that's not the 7th and 8th empires. It was the 6th. Okay? Let's go on now. Let's see what the Bible says about this.
Where you at?
Yes, brother. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 2. That you may not be quickly shaken from your composure. Don't be disturbed. Either by spirit. Now, that's false spirits. Do false spirits inspire people? You can just name church history. Look here. Look at the chart on church history here. Look how false spirits have involved people. Right here. In 251 A.D., we have at Rome, we have Constantine and Novatian having a controversy. Novatian was what we call a conservative. Cornelius, the liberal. The liberals won. Okay, all it was over church discipline, and that's all. But then that church at Rome became very, very powerful. By 325 A.D., we have Constantine the Great come on the scene. He marries the church to the state. Now, during all this period of time, we have true Christians. The church is not going to fail. But here is we have the birth and a birth of Islam at this period of time. I mean, not Islam, but Catholicism. Catholicism married the church and the state. That's when you baptize babies. You make the babies members of the church and the state when they're born. The Christians over here, these Baptists, didn't do that. They killed them for it. You go on down here, and we have the church and the state organized, and then we have the first pope in the 500s. The first pope. First pope wasn't Peter. First pope was Leo. All right? Leo the Second. Popery is established. Mariolatry is begun. That's where they start worshiping Mary. This is in the 5th century. And then we have infant baptism established by law. Infant baptism established by law. And then we have over here, we have indulgences. This is where you can pay the sin. You can buy something that will cover your sins. That's not what the Bible teaches, is it? But now we have people going away from the Word of God. They're keeping the Word of God out of people's hands. They have already changed the Bible from Greek into Latin. Greek was Koine Greek, was the common language of everybody. And they put it into Latin, which is only of the ruling elite. That's why our legal language today is in Latin. Lawyer terms are in Latin. Medical and scientific terms are in Greek. Then you come over here to purgatory. They invent purgatory so they can get money out of you. They keep on pilfering the people, and we have the church and the state. We have marriage established by law. Okay, this is when it began in Catholicism. Baptists were still marrying each other and putting their names in the Bible. But Catholicism says it is a rule. And then we have saint and image worship in 787 A.D. But let's go back over here to 570. What happened in 570 A.D., Marilyn? What happened over there, Roger?
Muhammad's
born. Muhammad is about 40 years old when he says he starts getting these revelations. He was an epileptic. He had these, what they call frontal lobe epilepsy, according to many medical doctors. What he was seeing, he thought was God. But does false spirits inspire people? Actually, he described what appeared to him, and what appeared to him is Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14. And what is that? Lucifer. Satan. Okay? He realized that he could not be a prophet of God by peaceful means. He tried to do that there in Mecca, and they ran him off. So he went down to Medina, and he began to conquer by the sword. He began to kill his own family to begin with, and kill the people that were related to him. He started, this is what we call them, the Alibaba and the 40 Knights. You know all these stories about these raiding and killing people, cutting people's heads off. That's how he really advanced his religion. And what was Catholicism doing? The same thing. So he picked up on Catholicism and just said, well, it worked for them. It's going to work for me. And did it. They're still doing it. All right. So we have here in Satan image worship. And then we have the division of the Roman and the Greek Catholic Church right here in 869. Infant communion started. Transubstantiation is invented. Celibacy is invented. Well, transubstantiation is invented in the 1100s. In 1123 A.D., celibacy was invented. Then we have confession, and we have the Inquisition, and we have the Bible absolutely forbidden in 1229. So this is what we call the evolution of theology. Now, almost all these Protestants came out of Catholicism, didn't they? And they took the church-state idea with them. Islam has a church-state idea. You can't believe without the church and the state being one. Now, let's go back. We've only got a few minutes left. Don't be disturbed by spirit or by message or letter. That some of these people were saying the Lord already came. Well, he said he didn't. As if from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has already come. Let no one in any way deceive you. It will not come unless the apostasy comes first. The apostasy means what? Apostasia. Standing away from. Falling or standing away from. To stand away from. Apo and stasia. Apo is away from, and stasia, to stand away from, comes first. Now, that is a lot of that happened in church history, and we just covered that. Well, that's happened. And the man of lawlessness, the outlaw. Why is this man called an outlaw? Why is this Antichrist, this Mahdi or whatever he is, why is he called an outlaw? Because he stands away from God's word. You ask a person, a Muslim today, and I say, well, I study the Bible. Well, the Bible's been corrupted. That's what they say, isn't it? The Bible's been corrupted. The lawless one. Muhammad heard a lot of Gnosticism and different things, and he put it all together and came up with his religion that he concocted. But everything, he'll be going along there and saying so and so and so and so, the bluest sky and the birds fly and God sends rain and Jesus is not the Son of God. All over and over and over, emphasizing that Jesus is not the Son of God. Jesus of Islam is not Jesus of the Bible. Jesus of Islam is blasphemy. The Jesus of the Bible is Jehovah, God of heaven, and the only way of our salvation. He said, let no one anyway that leads you astray, for it will not come until the apostasy comes first, and then the lawless man, the lawless one that will not go to God's word, that stands against God, the revealed, the son of destruction, the son of hell. In Genesis 3:15, we have the woman and the man in the garden. That's where marriage was instituted, Larry and Irma, over there in that garden. And what did that old girl do? She went over there and she was influenced by Satan, wasn't she? Through a snake, a Nahash, which was her buddy. The snakes and the animals were companions. But now the snake, the Nahash, he loans his body to Lucifer, and the spirit of Satan goes in him. And he speaks to the woman and deceives her. And so we have all this, and they ate the whole tree, didn't they? In the Hebrew, it says they ate it until it was gone. She kept on eating, and he kept on eating until there was nothing left to eat. They stole God's whole tree. They became liars, murderers, everything right then at that time. The whole human race, your sin nature comes from them right there. Well, actually, Adam comes from Adam right then because of what they did. But God steps in, and Jehovah God talks, and he talks to Lucifer over here, and the woman sitting over here, and the man sitting over here, and he speaks right straight to Lucifer, and he through the snake. And he says, and I shall put enmity between your seed. Who's that? Who's your seed? Satan's seed. This is him right here. This is him in the New Testament. It tells us that Satan is going to procreate with a woman and bring forth a child. And it was prophesied in Genesis 3rd chapter and verse 15. The son of destruction. What does diabolos mean? Diabolos is Greek, and also it goes into Latin, and it goes into English, diabolos, in Spanish. The destroyer. The son of destruction. Now, he's going to destroy. I will put active hatred between your seed, the Antichrist, and her seed, Jesus Christ, and you shall bruise him as to the heel. He will taste death on the cross of Calvary, but he shall bruise you as to the head, a deadly blow. The son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself above every so-called god or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as God. Now, we already know, according to Islam and the Bible, that the Jews are going to have a temple in Jerusalem. The Jews want to have a place where they can worship there, and all nations shall come to it. And boy, they're going it. There's the temple advocates. You can go online and you can make donations to that temple. But I wouldn't do it, because that's going to be the temple of the Antichrist. That's what the cobblestone is going to be also. And verse number 5, and do you not remember that while I was still with you, I was telling you these things? And you know what restrains him now, so that in his time he may be revealed. What restrains this terrible person's power today? The Holy Spirit of God in the churches. The Holy Spirit of God restrains this one. And he's called the mystery of lawlessness. He's already at work. Is the mystery of lawlessness at work? Well, it came to work there about 251 A.D. And it got worse and worse. Look at the evolution of theology and false religion. He who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. Now, the Holy Spirit is not going to quit working in the world when he's taken out the church and everyone, all the saved, is taken. He's not going to quit working. He's still going to save people's lives. But the power of him in the world today will be the influence that we have made on the world. By the way, it's waning greatly, isn't it? How much Christian influence is there in the world? Even those that are called Christians aren't Christians. Terrible. Look at America. I guarantee you one thing. When Islam brings its power in, there won't be any immorality, according to them. Man may be able to have 15 wives, or actually 4 wives and all the concubines he can afford. But there won't be any homosexuality. There won't be any drunkenness. They'll kill them all. How many people are going to be killed among the Gentiles? 5 out of every 6. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will slay with the breath of his mouth. Revelation, the 19th chapter. Islam knows that they're going to have to fight this Jesus. They call him false Jesus. He's going to stand against them. They're afraid of him. Because a lot of those people are going to be killed. And bring an end by the appearance of his coming. And that is the one who's coming in accordance with the activity of who? The energizing of Satan. With all power and signs and false wonders. Is he going to have powers and signs and false wonders? Yes. And with all the deception, all the leading astray of wickedness, for those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. For this reason, God will send upon them a deluding, and we're talking about the tribulation period now, a deluding influence that they might not believe what is false. That they might believe what is false, in order that they all may be judged who did not believe the truth, but took pleasure in wickedness. And in false religion is wickedness. It says, but we give always thanks to God, brethren beloved by the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in truth. And it was for this He called you through our gospel. What is the gospel? Gospel isn't being baptized. The gospel isn't going to church. The gospel is that Jesus Christ was born into this world, and that Jesus is Jehovah, the Old Testament, the one who shall become. That's what it means. Jehovah means the one who shall become. It comes from Hayah in Hebrew. The one who shall become became flesh. Where it is fulfilled in the New Testament, Sharon?
John 1:14.
Quote that for me in Greek. Kai ho logo sarx agenito. Is that right, Brother Ray? How about Roger? Is that right? Marilyn, can you say that too? Kai ho logo sarx agenito. And the Word, the Jehovah, fleshy became and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John 1:18 says, no one has seen God at any time, the only begotten God, the one being in the bosom of the Father, he has led himself out. That's the gospel. That Jesus Christ came into this world, born of a woman, born in exactly the right time, exactly like Daniel said he would be born, right in the right place too, Bethlehem. That he lived, that he's born of the right family. Joseph should have been on the throne of Israel, not Esau, or not Esau's descendant, which was Herod. And Jesus was the true king of Israel. And what did Pontius Pilate say? 5 times he said Jesus was innocent, and what was his final decree? That Jesus is the king of Israel, the king of the Jews. Herod isn't. And he's innocent. And they said what? He washed his hands before them and said, I'm innocent of this man's blood. And what they say? Let his blood be upon us and our people. And has it? Yep. You know why they had all this trouble through history? Because of that. And it was for this that he called you through our gospel. The gospel in 1 Corinthians 15, chapter verses 1 through 4 or 5. That Jesus Christ came according to the Word of God. That Jesus Christ lived according to the Word of God. That Jesus Christ died according to the Word of God. That Jesus Christ was buried according to the Word of God. That Jesus Christ was resurrected according to the Word of God. We are baptized because we're saved, not to get saved. And we look to Jesus for salvation because He is our only way of hope. So then, brethren, stand firm and hold to the traditions, those things handed down, which is the Bible, by the way. Not the traditions. This is what they call the Mishnah and the Talmud. That's what they call the Jewish traditions. The traditions in Islam is the Hadith and the Ahadith and the Sunnahs. The traditions which you were taught, whether by word of mouth or by letter from us. This is the real Word of God. Now, may our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God our Father, who has loved us and given us eternal comfort and a good hope by grace, comfort and strengthen your hearts in every good work. That's all coming before when society will totally fail. When society fails, and the Antichrist in the last day will be the head of that society. But Jesus will bring it back to Himself. He will come back and He will wipe out all those terrible people, all of these armies, and He will take only the saved until the millennium, and they will go in there, those that are saved upon earth. And they will go into the millennium and live for 1,000 years, and we'll cover that next week. Do you have any interrogatio? Any questions? No questions? Got a question, Larry, Irma, Mary Lynn? Thank you. Brother Ray, our resident theologian, do you have any questions? The wife of the resident theologian, Carol, do you have any questions? No? How about Brother Roger?
No.
Sharon?
No.
Udamia? Nothing? Well, let's be dismissed in prayer. And Brother Roger, would you dismiss us in prayer, Brother?
Father, thank you.